do for Valentine's Day, Jennifer?
Oh, geez. I didn't know you'd start with me. Just on this date in particular or in
general?
Sure,
in general. Or how does Valentine's Day fit in your world, or does it?
I have the pleasure of experiencing really unique Valentine's Day because mm-hmm. I am one part of a duo that has provided singing telegrams
mm-hmm.
on the island and elsewhere. And since 2009... So my partner and I have spent nearly every Valentine's Day together for the last almost 14 or so years. Now, we're not doing it this year. I'm here with you, but I will have dinner with her mm-hmm. and her family tonight
mm-hmm.
at a very fancy place known as The Rock later.
I love The Rock. I'm so glad it's open again.
I know.
I sure hope it is so we don't have
Me
to cook
too.
Tonight. But
yeah.
So I've spent nearly every Valentine's Day with her all these last years.
See.
And so I haven't traditionally... celebrated Valentine's Day in ways that you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spent that with my partners or my children in some aspects. I mean, we used to go to the schools and embarrass them and do singing telegrams there.
Right.
And with our,
right.
our husbands at their workplaces.
How fun.
So I miss that. It's a really fun way to spend the day with a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing it today?
I don't know. In fact, she and I had a rehearsal last night for a radio show. In fact, we have here this Sunday for different characters that we do. And we didn't even discuss why we didn't advertise. I mean, both of our families have been under the weather. It's mm-hmm. been a very busy winter.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun things coming up, and getting suited up in a 2-2 and 40 degree weather is difficult.
That's hard. Yeah.
At times. Yeah. And there's a lot of travel involved. I think we both were working today. It's just mm-hmm. some years that we did it virtually during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Separately, in fact, from our own homes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're just not doing it this year. We're just taking a little break. So we're mm-hmm. sort of traditionally spending it with our families tonight.
Acknowledge it. I mean, you know. And what about you, Susan?
Valentine's Day is something that I have shared with partners and my kids. Because they live far away, mm-hmm. I like to send them cards and sometimes candy. It depends on how cheap I'm feeling.
they get
depends
a lot on what the bank account looks
days.
Like.
Yeah. And it's, I have mixed feelings about Valentine's Day, and I think it's overblown mm-hmm. for the greeting card and the flower industry, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think I like making it a day of love.
Mm-hmm.
Love of all kinds.
Yeah. Get the uncomfortable underwear. And flowers are not sustainable. Diamonds are nice, though, people.
They are sustainable.
Listening.
Yeah, but they're pretty bad,
especially
too.
Conflict-free diamonds, naturally.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, so in our show today... Oh, I should tell you what I do on Valentine's
Day. Yeah, and what about you, Linda?
Nothing. I really have never been a Valentine's person. I celebrated... One time a long time ago when I was really in love with an Australian rogue, I will call him. He was fabulous.
Ooh.
And celebrated Valentine's Day together. And what I did then was I got a little silver heart that was a little box. And I wrote in tiny, tiny script little phrases that were his and mine. You know, how lovers get secret languages.
Uh-huh.
And the really weird thing about that is... he died, and his sister went through all of his stuff in Australia. And
oops.
Oops. And so, you know, okay. But anyway.
What is a little?
His sister got to know you pretty well.
She did. She went through all his stuff. All my letters were still there and everything. But she sent me a bunch of it. And she sent me this little silver box. And she said, I don't know what this is, but it's your writing. And so I have that. And interestingly enough, I came across it like 3 days ago. I went, oh, that was sweet. So that, you know, and grade school, we did a lot of Valentine's boxes and that kind of stuff. But I'm not, as a single woman, I don't feel obligated at all. Sometimes I'll make a phone call and say, you know, I love you. But I do that all the time. So Valentine's Day.
Good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
I think we were discussing that before we came on air. Why celebrate it today, February 14th?
When you can't do it every day.
I know you're going to give us a little history on that, but why not on a Tuesday?
I know.
Why not on Sunday night when you're doing the laundry?
Yeah, just say it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get into all of that, I think we should have a COVID update.
I wanted to ask Jennifer one thing.
Before we talk about COVID?
Before we talk about COVID.
I can talk about COVID too.
Sure. You can tell, audience, you can tell that this is a very scripted show.
Yeah, right. you're singing telegrams. What was the most selected, most frequently selected song for Valentine's Day singing telegrams?
Well, it's an easy one. We wrote a custom song. I mean, we have a song. Custom to us. We have a proprietary Valentine's Day song that we use, and it's so fun. And there's choreography, of course. And we send intakes to the person who's lucky enough to receive the telegram. We send it to the person who's sending the telegram with a very extensive questionnaire about their loved one. And it's the funnest thing to get the answers back.
Most
telling are the people who don't write a whole lot about their partner or don't seem to know them or know those deeper things, because there's always in the when we would provide the telegram service, actually, when we arrived, we would introduce ourselves, introduce them to everybody. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know who sent it until the song and part of the song revealed. But there was a huge preamble that we did to let them know that we know who they are.
Wow.
And what their favorite foods are, and what the favorite perfume they wear, and where they want to go on vacation, what their nicknames are. We'd make dog sounds if that was their thing. Mm-hmm. And so so the song was always the same, but it was personalized to each person.
And so are you doing that this year?
No.
Is that what I'm hearing you say? No.
No.
Okay.
No. I think, if you come to The Rock tonight around 6 o'clock after we order our pizzas, I'm sure we will sing for
There'll
our family.
There.
Yeah, we will sing for the kids and our husbands.
Oh, how fun. The Rock at
They've
6 o'clock,
it.
You guys.
I can see the
Be
crowd
there.
For me now.
I can
the
too.
Rock at 6 o'clock.
I hope Maisie and Greg are ready.
Yeah, really.
You know, Valentine's Day has a really interesting history. And I think most people believe that first of all, I need to say a caveat. I didn't know much about Valentine's Day before we decided to do Valentine's Day. So I did a lot of reading of what's going on or what happened way back then. And people have an idea that it is named after Saint Valentine, who was a martyr back in the old Roman days. I don't have the date, but then he was beheaded. I mean, they put him in jail, and he was in trouble with the church. Because he was too religious.
Too religious?
He was too religious. So
that's always been my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you are not welcome here.
So they beheaded him. And you know, blood and guts and all of that. So there are other scholars who are doing a lot of research about this, and through the years have come to a different conclusion. And it is Geoffrey Chaucer, who was an English poet in what? 16 something, I think, yeah. And he wrote a 699-line poem that scholars attribute to, which I'm not going to read for you.
Thank you.
which people think is the very first reference to Valentine and falling in love, although he did not use the word Valentine. It was a description of the time.
So how did it get to be named after the guy who got beheaded? I thought he was writing letters from the tower where he was imprisoned.
And he said, love Valentine. The myth is that, his name was Valentine.
Right.
And so the myth is that he wrote a love letter to a woman or a girl or something, and it signed it, love Valentine. And it was a love letter. So from there.
So he wasn't that religious.
Apparently not.
Pretty forward to be writing a letter to a woman from a tower while he's locked up.
Yeah. Wasn't he a priest or something?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's right.
But you know,
that's where it comes in.
Yeah, that's where. So I don't think he got beheaded because he was too religious.
Well, he did. I read that.
Really?
He was too religious. Well, you know, they get to say whatever they want to say. It was Claudius. It was the Emperor Claudius.
Roman
times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So another group of scholars believes that Valentine's Day came from Lupercalia. That is spelled Lupercalia. And that is a pagan festival back in the same days as Chaucer and,
16th century.
16th century, uh-huh. Probably. Anyway, Lupercalia was a pagan festival full of blood and guts. And it was a drunken debauchery in all the little villages in Italy. And it was a man's thing. And the men you know, they built fires and they drank and they danced and they did all kinds of things. And then at the end, and they butchered a goat or two, and at the and they took they skinned the goat and made the hide into strips. Then after they were good and drunk, they went around the village, and women were all naked then. It was part of their, they had to be naked. And these men would go beat the women with the goat skins. And then they would take them off into the woods or whatever and do whatever with them. And some people say that even the colors of Valentine's Day, the white and the red, symbolize the blood. And the white is the purity of the virgins. So there are many myths out there, and nobody knows for sure where it came from.
I don't know about that story.
Well, Lupercalia
is a white goat.
Lupercalia is definitely a thing that happened. That's not a myth, but the myth comes in where Valentine's Day came from, besides Hallmark.
Well, I do think that that Lupercalia festival kind of moved into the 1970s. I remember a band in Central Illinois that used to play a song called Let's Get Drunk and Screw.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song. I knew the words to the
That's actually our Valentine's Day song.
Is it?
It's out.
Nice. That's very romantic. I like that. Yeah. So that's
right up there with Let's Do It in the Road.
That's what I learned about Valentine's Day. Yeah. And then I came across this other thing that I thought was really interesting in keeping with Valentine's Day. I've been kind of keeping track of Pompeii and what they're doing in archaeology there. And about 2 years ago, they opened part of Pompeii that they had restored, and it's a cafeteria in there. There's bowls, and there's a counter, and places where people sat, and the frescoes are still alive on the walls. So that's where they started. And then I read an article the other day where now it's open to the public. And Pompeii, it's 12,000 square feet that they have restored. And the frescoes, 99% of the frescoes are erotic art. Those dirty birds.
It was a Vesuvius? What was
yeah.
The, yeah, Vesuvius yeah, that blew.
It was Vesuvius. And I'm trying to find, you know, they talked about the elaborate frescoes and the reference to one of the people, one of the men in the erotic art and his transcendent member.
What did it transcend?
I don't know, but that's kind of interesting.
3D?
Yeah.
In flagrante delicto.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that happen on Valentine's Day. I just thought that erotic thing was interesting, that it's Pompeii, it's Roman. That was kind of their mindset back then. And so Lupercalia, Valentine's Day, I don't know.
We will never know.
We will never know.
No,
we will never
know. History is written 14. By the guy who won.
I know. So, I know. You know. I'm just telling you what I read.
I know. And I think it's fascinating. But you know, we talk about the erotic frescoes in Pompeii. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of fast forward to HBO and Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a lot of...
White Lotus.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about
Outlander.
Did you read the Outlander books?
No, I did not.
I read the first two. My gosh, there's a lot of sex in there.
A lot of sex in all of them. Yeah. And it's really graphic, mm-hmm. and it's really out there.
And it's well written.
The books are.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about the movies. I didn't see the movies.
I'm talking about the erotica that is on, mm-hmm. that is available mm-hmm. on TV now. And... I don't know. I get kind of bored with it after
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, I know. Well,
maybe it has something to do with age.
Or maybe you have to watch real porn.
There you go.
Oh, you should see the look I
homework.
Just got.
There's your homework, Susan.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And all listeners, please just listen, watch real porn, and then you can really appreciate that.
And then you'll have an opinion.
Yeah. Every day.
Well, I have a great opinion. I believe that erotica is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And erotica is about wonderful sex that is satisfying to women. And
to both people.
Both people. Okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah, but porn isn't about satisfying women.
Except there are some women directors out there, I've heard, who are producing porn for women.
But, good.
You know, maybe we should check into that.
That'll
report
be our,
on
our
it.
Next show.
That'll be our, yes.
Okay.
Right.
All right. We'll have a little
girl
party.
Porn.
We'll watch some girl porn and then we'll report. We'll tell all of y'all out there mm-hmm. all about it. You know, Valentine's has this idea within its being that it's a romantic holiday. And some people don't think romance at all, especially those people in Chicago, because they think of Valentine's Day Massacre.
Ooh.
And that was February 14th, 1929, 10:30 in the morning. The massacre became a national media event. And, you know, Capone, it was Capone. And he, as the most ruthless, smartest, and elegant, they say, of the gangland bosses, he decided that he didn't like certain of the people that were two Sicilian colleagues and his main rival, which was the Irish gang boss, whose name was Bugsy Moran. Remember
Bugsy
him?
Bugsy Moran.
Yeah. So he believed all these people betrayed him. And so he invited all of them to a sumptuous Valentine's banquet where he brutally pulverized them with a baseball bat. And, you know, he observed the old tradition of wining and dining the traitors before executing them.
That does seem to be an old tradition. So, you know, I would say anytime mm-hmm. somebody you're not quite sure you get along with invites you to dinner, turn it down.
Right, right.
Especially if it's, you know, like at a fancy restaurant.
See, the Irish would never do that. They would just hit you first. They wouldn't, right, they wouldn't break bread with you. They wouldn't bother
staring. No. They would waste all that good food.
We would not
waste all that food and time. Who needs to do that?
Yeah, that's right. Plus, you know, it's... anger has
to
happen.
Now we have a Guinness toast.
Oh, I want to go back to the 699-line poem that Chaucer wrote.
Uh-oh.
It's called, I'm not going to read it. It's called Parliament of Fowls, and it's about birds falling in love. Ca-caw. So that is where some of the birds came into.
You know what a parliament is a, that's owls. A cluster of owls is known as a parliament, or a gathering of owls.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
I know a murder of crows.
That's
true. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Thank you for that.
Parliament of
gaggle
owls.
Of geese. Yeah. No. Parliament of geese, owls.
Yes.
One more fact about Chaucer is that he wrote this supposedly for Richard II of England when he married Anne of Bohemia. So that's about the romance and the love, etc.
That was when they had time to read 699 lines of poetry.
God, right.
And they didn't have TV.
What the quill? I wonder how long 699 lines is. I'm going to look it up and look at it. I did at one point, but it was like, oy.
Yeah.
So, I don't have time.
And in Chaucerian English, which is hard to pronounce.
Yeah. You know, I know that Valentine's Day is popular, I mean, almost everywhere.
We hear. Yeah.
Almost everywhere. But there are countries who eschew it totally. And last August, places like, you know, Pakistan, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia. Last August, five Saudis were sentenced to a total of 39 years in prison, as well as 4,500 lashes each, because they'd been found dancing with six women that were unrelated to them on Valentine's Day, and they had alcohol. So
sounds like a fun night.
Yeah.
Was there goat skin involved?
I don't know.
Those poor people. They're just having a good time.
Well, you know,
when I was reading all this stuff, I started thinking, well, where's the good stuff? Why are we celebrating this when all this stuff happened around the date? And it's just another example of marketing and, oh, if they're going to do it, I better do it. Kind of. Mm-hmm. It's that.
Agreed.
Let's talk about gifts.
Okay. I didn't bring you anything. Oh, I did. I brought some.
You brought some champagne.
Champagne.
I brought kisses.
Yeah. Yes, and we have chocolate kisses. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice.
Gifts, yeah. Are they obligatory on Valentine's Day? Do you give to get?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you can't expect if you don't give. You know.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess you could, but.
You brought up an article from the New York Times about how men celebrate Valentine's Day than women because, you know, they're buying gifts and flowers and candy because they think they're going to get laid.
Yeah.
And does it work?
I think it does.
Well, you know, if you offer to take them to McDonald's, they'll think they're going to get laid.
Okay. You're talking about the other way around now.
Oh, sorry. That's awful.
I think there's nothing better than just giving the gift of the surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, we just talked about this, doesn't have to be on Valentine's Day, but that seems so much more impactful than on this particular day.
Mm-hmm. I've always been fascinated by why do women receive fancy underwear on Valentine's Day?
Did you find out why?
Well, no, but it's a big business. And what I did find out is that there's something called pink taxes. And what it is that U.S. tariffs are higher on women's underwear than they are in men's underwear.
P.S.
And, yeah.
And there's less material.
And there's less material. And I'll tell you what else. Fancier silk products are by far the most lightly taxed. The fancy ones are at 2.1%. And 0.9% for male boxers and briefs. Middle class, they call this middle class cotton, have slightly higher tariffs at 7.6. But get this, and now they call this working class polyester panties, are the most heavily taxed at 16% for women.
Our everyday. Yeah.
Yeah, your everyday underwear.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what?
And these are tariffs?
Tariffs. So probably import tariffs.
I was
because
say, they're being imported from somewhere. And
most of it is imported from, you know, Indonesia, Vietnam, China, mm-hmm. you know.
So ladies, until you start making your own fine underwear, you're going to have to pay a high price.
You know, my mom took a lingerie sewing class way back in the day in the 70s, and she made some incredible, beautiful underwear. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like the cotton underwear is lower priced.
Right. Right.
Which kind of surprises me because cotton is made all over the world. But of course, it's not necessarily made into underwear right there in the field.
Right. And it's middle class. It's middle class.
It's middle class. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. But,
yeah. Mm. And, you know.
So. Well, it's better for the environment.
Well,
and better
it certainly
for your crotch.
Is. Yes. Terrible.
I like good underwear. I mean, I don't spend, the amount of money I probably used to on
mm-hmm.
it.
Because
it doesn't mean the same thing for me anymore, but you do pay for comfort and quality.
Yes. You do.
Say.
Yes,
and
you do.
And when it's that close to your skin, it should be.
It should be comfortable. Yeah. Yeah, I don't buy cheap undies.
It can ruin
There's
your
no
day
reason.
To have
yeah.
the wrong pair of underwear on.
Oh.
Yeah, it can really make your day go sideways. No, no pun intended.
Absolutely.
And I have done that.
Yeah, yeah. Reaching and scratching.
Squirmy days.
Yeah. Squirmy days.
So anyway, that's just, you know, a little bit of information about underwear. And somebody asked me the other day if I ever got underwear on Valentine's Day. And I said, no, but the only gift I remember getting on Valentine's Day was a dustbuster.
Wow.
And
oh, you
for
must
the
have been
bedroom,
married.
I was married.
Yeah.
It was my husband. And he gave me this gorgeously wrapped big box. And I went, oh, man,
this
really?
Is gonna be good.
Because we didn't do Valentine's Day. And I was just very taken. And so I opened the box and I said, oh, you're so cute to put it in a dustbuster box. So I think it was a dustbuster.
That's how you get to be an ex-husband, gentleman.
Pretty quick. He was pretty close to the line by then anyway.
I would love a dustbuster. Rusty, if you're listening, I actually would really like a dustbuster. I also want a label maker so badly. I've had them over the years, but I'm in between label makers right now.
Okay. Well, we'll put that on a list.
Label makers and dust bunnies.
Is there any other holiday where underwear is predominantly given to one side?
I don't think so.
But what about Father's Day? Do we give a lot of boxer shorts to the boys on those days?
No. Okay.
No.
I don't either. I'm just checking.
It goes back to the women thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I suppose it's nice to get it.
Well, it's an adornment. I don't know. We could dive deep about sexualizing your partner and then you're dressing her up and
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's fun to have sexy underwear.
Well, and sometimes it's fun for everybody.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. So, you know, the other gift that people really like are flowers,
mm-hmm.
right? So a lot of people, I did some research on that too, and it's supposedly the flower tradition started with the British ambassador's wife, Lady Mary Wortley Montagu. And she was stationed with her husband in Turkey and noticed the locals using different colored flowers and plants to send secret love messages.
Mm.
And so she sent a secret love message to her husband, and I think that that's where the tradition of flowers on Valentine's Day started. And, of course, it used to be a lot simpler than it is now. But Most of our flowers now come from Colombia. And UPS has said this year that they are flying in 89 million flowers from Colombia.
Holy Moses.
Holy Moses is right. 89 million.
Holy petals.
You know, Colombia has developed a billion-dollar industry in flowers, and around 75% of the flowers in the United States originate from South America.
And cocaine. So do they go together?
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's a gift.
Remember back
giving.
In the day when the war on drugs came to be. So the American government went to Colombia and convinced the Colombians to grow flowers instead. So now I suppose they're growing both, but they've captured that
89 million,
and California says that. 2 billion dollars is spent on Valentine's Day flowers. And California produces 60% of roses that are grown in the United States, and that's still not enough. We have to get them from Colombia.
Have you been by Thriftway today to see what a dozen roses cost?
No, I haven't even looked.
I was going to call the gals at Urban Bloom and find out how they're doing. I'm going to stop there after the show, but I'm curious what a dozen roses at Thriftway right now costs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's right around 20.
I was going to say $39.99, but
that
maybe
much for a dozen, yeah.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, a lot of them are like 65 and 100 for a dozen on Valentine's Day.
And roses with unusual colors, not found in nature, you know.
Right.
Like they do at St. Patty's Day to all those darn...
Oh, yeah, everything's green.
Put them in green water
green.
And let it green suck up. Yeah.
I know. So the other thing that is a little alarming about the flowers is the carbon footprint, which is pretty bad. Planes, trains, automobiles, boats, all for flowers. Oh. And, you know, we love our flowers. I love our flowers. But it's February, and we don't have any.
Flowers
and in summer,
we
get everything. I mean, we can buy homegrown flowers. We can grow homegrown flowers.
We can pick from our neighbor's yard at that time of the year. So
easily. Yes. Yes. I'm coming to Susan's next summer.
That's actually where I go.
I know.
It's so fleeting. I mean, flowers are so incredibly fleeting.
Right.
We used to really sell that point when we would do singing telegrams every year about how that is such a lasting memory and certainly a huge impression on someone to
send
a custom song. But flowers are nice, but
they
it's
are
not
nice,
my
but
top
it's
choice.
Not, it's not, I don't
well,
care.
They die.
Really.
You They're nice. Get a plant.
Yeah. That's the other thing that you could be suggested, a real plant, like a live plant. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, these flowers travel from Colombia in planes. These planes all land in Louisville. And then in Louisville, they're put onto giant refrigerated semis and shipped all over the country. And then when they get to their destination, like Sacramento or, you know, Phoenix, they go on littler trucks to get to the flower store.
Wow.
And then the flower store has a different truck that takes it to you. So the carbon footprint is pretty significant with flowers. And I feel like I'm sounding like a bah humbug.
But Valentine's Day.
Okay, so it's Valentine's Day.
Killing
what do you
planet.
Want to talk about?
I do think we should remember we can take it back and say it is a day of love.
Yes.
Love of all kinds.
Yes.
Love your kids. Love your friends. Love your lover. Love your partner. Love the people walking down the street, for heaven's sake.
Not that guy.
Well,
but
not that guy.
No. So the other guy.
And not her.
She owes me money.
And don't get arrested.
And our pets. We have a new pet, and we got a nice pink collar for her, not for the occasion, but only because
she's kind of a pink girl.
It just came in.
Yeah.
She looked pretty cute in it today, I gotta say.
I bet she did.
She was on point.
Yeah, I bet she did. So, you know, I let's talk about how we might do something differently. You know, remember the office? The office?
Yeah, great show.
And the line they used in there for Valentine's Day was Galentine's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said for just celebrating the day with your friends or letting your friends know that they're important to you, as important as your lover or, you know, your husband. I mean, it's your wife. It's just really nice to let your friends know. And I'm wondering, I'm just curious, do you guys have any ideas about what we might do as a celebration that honors our friends or our days?
I can think of some folks we should honor, and I would like to do that right now.
Oh, do you mean our supporters?
Yes.
I couldn't think of that. They aren't supporters.
You're thinking underwear.
That's another story. About underwear. Yeah.
Back on the underwear.
Yeah.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
VOV programming support is provided by Island Escrow, Vashon's only independent escrow company providing comprehensive service for all types of real estate transactions since 1979.
Thank you very much to our underwriters.
Hello.
We do love you.
Yes, we do. We
so we were talking
do.
About things
underwriters
we can do.
And underwear.
Why don't the underwriters ever come in their
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it? Let's invite them.
Yeah, we don't have any underwriters who sell underwear that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm sure they wear it.
Yeah, right. They might be people who go commando.
We have no idea.
This is an island where people don't often wear socks with their shoes.
That's true. Yeah. Is your mic on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. There
That's
you are.
Okay. Wow, Galentine's Day.
Yeah.
mute.
Well, somebody
don't let
else.
Her talk.
Do you want to talk about the other name that came up?
That I suggested to Susan.
I thought that was excellent.
I did too.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. With your girlfriends.
That's right. We're remembering our girlfriends on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It's very specific.
It is very
really
specific.
Is.
Yes.
So what kinds of things would you do for a really good friend of yours or somebody that you care about that maybe doesn't know you do?
Well, that's different.
Yeah, that's really...
No,
that's really
it isn't.
Different.
I'm talking about a friend.
Okay.
And like, you know, there's a friend that lives down the street and you see each other once in a while. You really like her, but you haven't really had a friendship, so to speak. Drop a little note on the porch. I mean, that kind of stuff mm-hmm. is kind of nice. Surprise, I think.
You know, in this day and age, I'm not sure that's a pleasant surprise. If I got a note that says, you know, I've been noticing you for weeks. And
well, you wouldn't
really
say
think you're
that.
Cool and I'd like to get to know you better. I might lock my doors and call the cops.
But you wouldn't say that.
Well, what do you say to someone?
Just say, hi, I hope you're having a great day. It was nice to see you the other day and happy Valentine's Day.
That's really sweet.
You don't have to say, I've got my eye on you. Where are you? What are you wearing?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that gets you arrested.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. We don't want to do that.
I will tell you, so I was reading an email this morning from my favorite astrologer, Chani Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I've never seen this before. Well, I think I've only been sort of following her for a year, so maybe we weren't together last Valentine's Day, Chani and I. But she had a guide for how to honor each sign in your sort of relationship sphere, what they like to hear on a particular day, such as this.
Oh.
So my sign was pretty spot on for me. It made a lot of sense. The sign of my performance partner, Tammy, it said that I should tell her why she matters.
Oh.
And be very specific about it. It said, the guide said that I should tell my Cancer partner that I am happy right here where I am with you and we don't need to be anywhere else. Mm. So that's a Cancer sign, you know, the crab,
nice.
They like, they're very homebodies.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my Leo rising girlfriends was to put her in the spotlight and give her very specific compliments.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And let her lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
For one of my kids, you know, I never did read my Scorpio. That's my son. But for my daughter, it was to say something along the lines of what you're doing now is the best thing that you could do for yourself. So to give her some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all these
well,
very
that's
specific
a very supportive.
It was very interesting to read, honestly.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're looking good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see. I know that you Linda are an Aquarius, correct?
Yeah, get yourself to the water.
Okay, so this is, watch documentaries in search of extraterrestrial life.
Okay.
Accompany them down astrophysics YouTube wormholes. Would that make you happy?
Keep reading.
Okay, invite them outside before the sun goes down. Search for blue and white flowers together.
Okay.
Find new and complex recipe. Oh, that.
Oh, there's that.
To attempt, Be their sous chef. Ask about their feelings. If they answer.
Extraterrestrials?
Yeah. If they answer with what they're thinking, ask again. Tell them their vulnerability looks good on them. Play brain games together. Eat breakfast for dinner and vice versa. Hold their hand more often than they reach for yours.
Aww.
Oh, is that fitting
That's
for
good.
You,
Linda?
That's very sweet.
Well, the holding hand thing is really good for me because when I was in Amsterdam this last fall, I noticed that women walk down the street holding hands. And it's just the girlfriend thing. And it was so sweet to see that. And then my granddaughter, who's 21, came to visit me while I was over there. She was in Belgium in school at the time. And we held hands all over.
Really?
All over Amsterdam. It was so sweet and comforting and just solidifying in a way.
I think it's, I think that's grounding, actually. I think that's so lovely for women to walk arm in arm or with their arms around one another or holding hands. There's an intimacy there that allows for deeper conversation. And I think women are more willing to go there than men might.
My best friend Nola
men.
And I held hands all the time. And she died quite a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, we'd be in the airport going somewhere and we'd be holding hands or walking down the street holding
little
hands.
And
people looked at us funny back then, you know.
Well.
And yesterday, as a matter of fact, I went for a walk over in the woods, kind of, with my friend Nancy. And she was kind of three steps ahead of me when we were just beginning our walk. And I walked up behind her and I grabbed her hand. It just was sort of, I don't know, instinctual kind of, you know. And so we walked down the path holding hands for a while, telling each other that it felt really strange and good.
You know, I think it's more European, more acceptable in European countries than it is here in the United States, where we are homophobic and and all wrapped up in our sexual perversions.
I've been working on sort of same-sex platonic touch for a while now, honestly, with my partner who's extremely petty and huggy. I'm talking about Tammy, that partner. And I didn't have a sister growing up. I had brothers that were almost 10 years younger than I am. And my mother wasn't very touchy, nor my grandmother. So it's not something that's supernatural for me. And just with friends. And over the years, I've gotten more used to it. My children always comment, like, oh, God, I love Tammy's hugs. And I love this. And of course, I touch my children as much as they possibly will let me. But just that connection sometimes.
Right.
And when we do choreography, things like that, we're holding each other or hugging or things like that. And to sustain it has been really interesting for me because it's a part that I'm not naturally, honestly, comfortable with. And yet I'm more open with her than in most people in my life. Vulnerable, I should say.
That's about
I mean?
Trust.
It's a trust thing. And so with that touch is brought into play as well. With all other senses, it is a very remarkable thing for me. For her, maybe not so much because she is more of a handholder type and I am not. And it takes a lot for me to let that go.
I understand that. I have friends like that too. You know, touch is difficult.
I'm enjoying it. And yet it's definitely a growth edge, as they would say for me still. Yeah. There's a time, you know, it's like those people who hug you and don't quite let you go. I have another friend like that. She's one like, oh, here comes the long hug. And I just like
just
breathe
do it.
Into
just
it
do
breathe
it.
Into, and try to enjoy what she's trying to pass on to me through that touch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is she going through my wallet? Like, is she trying to get into my purse?
Is she a pickpocket?
Is she a pickpocket?
You know, I'm a big hugger. I hug anyone who will allow me and some who don't.
But and you can always tell.
And yes, it's important to be sensitive to that.
Sure.
To
get consent.
When people you know, whether it's verbal or not, be real clear about who's okay with it and who's not. But I really value, I think hugs are so important. And, you know, people come here to visit. Vashon is kind of an island of huggers.
A little touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. It is. It is.
And people come here to visit and we say, and we say, we hug on Vashon. And most people are pretty enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, but they wouldn't break the ice.
You
would do that first.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And consequently, I will just add that my male partner, my romantic partner, is a hugger.
Mm-hmm.
He's very sweet, and that's his sort of love language. Yeah. And I've had to check myself and how that makes me feel too. Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel?
Honest here on Valentine's Day. What's that?
How does that make you feel?
Sometimes I feel threatened.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it like a invasion of your space?
I'm still working on this.
On what it is?
Yeah. He may be listening or not. I don't know, but. Yeah, there's something there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is. I'd love to see men platonically hugging. I'd like to see women.
I like to see that too.
Something
but you know, I think from man to woman, it can sometimes feel predatory.
Mm. Yeah.
Depending on the man.
Yeah, what's the expectation here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you after really?
When I first moved to Vashon, I had known some theater folks before who are from this region, from this island, and we had performed together before, but I didn't know them really well. And they were lip kissers.
Oh, no.
That's another one.
I think
yeah.
you know them, and I won't say, but it was a tough one for me.
That is tough for me. I have some theater people are like that.
Yeah,
yes.
They are.
But yes, and I do have a little trouble with that one.
But I love kisses on my cheek.
Yeah, I do too.
I love that.
I don't mind that.
But I don't want it on my mouth. No.
Yeah,
those other body parts I could add to.
Well,
that.
You know, in listening to that, I can tell you, as you know, I'm a single woman. I live alone. And touch is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you live alone with a cat, I touch my cat a lot. But I also find that just going out and seeing people and even just a touch on the forearm or a little shoulder action, you know, it makes a difference in how your physical being feels, or at least mine.
Well, we humans need it.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, gosh,
we need
yeah.
contact. We need physical contact. And
we do.
That is one of the reasons we have pets.
And I think the mores around that physical closeness, you know, PDA, if you will, which it really isn't, but needs to stop. I mean, people, it's a problem in society when you have someone who is willing and ready and wants to give, and the other person is like, oh my God, oh my God, this is so weird. And it's hard to, for me, because I'm a hugger, and I always check if it's okay. You can tell by their eyes. You can tell immediately if it's not okay.
Also, when they turn and run.
Yeah, when they start, if they start screaming and flailing, I don't.
Let's talk about expectations of touch on this particular day. Is it a day that you always shave your legs? I mean, I'm just asking here.
I don't know. Not
is
me.
Is there an assumption?
Probably.
That someone's going to get lucky in your family because it's Valentine's Day. Susan, go ahead.
No. I think, you know, that when you get lucky when you get lucky. I don't think...
And you're lucky when you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that it has to be on a special day. I think maybe couples, particularly if they've been together for a long time, might like to make special arrangements for an anniversary or for, you know, a birthday or something. Not necessarily Valentine's Day.
But can I want to add something else to that. And I think that part of that is how long you've been with your partner.
Yeah.
How old you are.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, what's your libido like, really? You know, because women women in middle age are sort of lost interest.
Or viscosity.
Oh,
that too.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Valentine's Day.
Your cervix is so old. It's a whole new reel.
Yeah.
That's a whole other subject, Jennifer.
You make a good point, Linda. It depends a lot on how do you define lucky?
Mm-hmm.
How do you define lovemaking?
Mm-hmm.
And that changes with time.
It does.
On the planet and with time with a given partner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Changes with what that partner likes and what you've grown to develop between you. And I think too many relationships and their quality are measured by how good is your sex life. In other words,
and how frequent.
How often do you do it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That.
Do you think still?
I think so. I think as a national norm, I do think that people, you know, and all the articles, a lot of the articles that are written on Facebook and on feeds of all sorts talk about sexual frequency, meaning how often do you have intercourse?
And does that mean how much are you loved?
Right.
I mean, is that...
I think that sometimes men measure how much they are loved by how often they get to actually
have
intercourse.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, well, I'm not the only one who believes this, as people have written about this, about how the pandemic really turned that on its ear, too, with families being together all the time. Yeah. We were just talking about this off air, how a lot of our partners were working from home with them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean all day we're...
just no, you're each in your own office.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's Wi-Fi to be shared, and that's about it.
Right.
You might have a sandwich with them, mm-hmm. you know, downstairs in the kitchen, and maybe lucky enough to walk the dog with one another. But, you know, we have a big tub, and we don't use it during the day.
Yeah. No.
That's how it is.
But if you were 22 years old, newly in love, it would be a different story.
I am really in love, and I do feel like
I know you are in love. I don't mean that. I just mean if you're in the beginning stages of a relationship.
And I think there is that litmus test when you're
younger. It's a wonderful litmus test.
He's approaching me 5 to 7 days a week. We must be a relationship.
There must be a thing. Yeah.
Must be a thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that's a whole other show, too, is about women's sexuality at mid-age, because it's different than it was when we were in
I would love to do that,
20s
too.
And 30s.
Yeah. Again, you know, you can't sustain that fever pitch of in-loveness and survive mentally and physically.
Right. You can't. You just can't.
It has to level off.
Right.
So you got to find somebody who is your partner, somebody who is fun to be with, somebody who shares your values, somebody you have great conversations with, because that's what's going to be left.
That's true.
Well, that's right.
Deeper connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing with Luke tonight?
I'm not even going to get home until...
Oh, that's right. You have another show.
I've got another show to do. So he is preparing a dinner for us.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, how nice.
He is the cook.
He's a good cook.
He's a very good cook.
That's a great love language.
Yes, it is. Yeah, food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that my partner was thrilled, and he said something like, "What's going on?" And I said, "We're going to the pizza parlor with the teens and with Tammy's family." And it was exciting.
That'll be fun.
It was exciting for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's
great
fun.
There's no pressure. Yeah. And I don't think there is anyway, but just...
I think there is pressure, though. I mean, maybe not in your relationship, but this is an observation I've had through the years, and I'm not the only one who's had this observation, is that if you were just to go in the grocery store at about 5:30, how many men would you see in there scrambling through the cards and the roses and looking for the flowers? And oh my God, there aren't any roses left. And I mean, what am I going to do? And oh my God, because men forget about it. And I don't think that's a fault. I don't don't think it's a fault.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
And
either.
So when I see, and I have seen that happen, I feel really bad, because I think men get a bad rap in that regard. If it's not important to them, it's not important to them. It doesn't mean he doesn't love me. It doesn't mean we don't have a good relationship. It just means that doesn't matter to him. So, you know, the other side of that coin too is, well, if it matters to me, then it should matter to him. But that's not.
That's another
show. It isn't fair to not let him know that.
That's true.
Advance,
that's true.
Don't expect a guy to read your mind and know how important Valentine's Day or your birthday or your anniversary is to you. Be real clear so that you're not setting him up for failure.
There well, you go. Know, armchair psychology here, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
People imagine that their partner should know this about me by now.
Dustbuster.
He was so cute to wrap it up in that dustbuster.
Wasn't he?
It's Rusty Dustbuster.
Oh my God! Yeah. Did you still have it? Maybe I could just take yours.
No, that was a long time ago, and I will confess, I did a bad thing. I took it directly to the garbage.
Oh, as soon as he gave it to you,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, that marriage was on the rocks.
Yeah, it was done.
You were feeling that.
I was mad.
I thought you were gonna say I dusted him up after we cremated him.
No. Yeah. I use
Here's
it as
your
an urn.
Job, buddy.
Dustbuster is my urn.
It sits on the mantle.
dear. Oh, dear. They're out of control here.
10 minutes to go. Okay. How can we possibly fill it?
I'll say from the perspective of my teens, it was really interesting. So my kids have grown up watching me do singing telegrams for total strangers.
Sure.
You know, their entire life. And they have a real sense of holidays and going overboard for, you know, celebrating things and like that. And my daughter is someone who likes to zhuzh things up a lot, you know, like we like little decorations. I think I was saying before we went on the air, we'd put little hearts on the stairway to lead them downstairs.
So nice. Yeah.
And there was a little candelabra and some plants and or some flowers and made cinnamon rolls. Well, I heated
Were they Colombian
rolls.
Flowers?
They came from Thriftway. They were tulips. And she said, guess how many Valentines I have? And I said, how many? And you know how they used to do in school? As you're talking,
yeah.
Always
count
with
your
the glue
Valentine's.
Guns.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And she said she had 8 and she made little individual ones for her girlfriends.
Oh,
see?
And I just thought, God, what a great way to.
What a, yeah.
Yeah, she, yeah. I know she loves the decorum of those sorts of things without the pressure of them because mm-hmm. she really loves to give.
But the other thing too, I think, is that that generation is growing up with more freedom of thought around how we're going to do this from
Absolutely.
Now on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for it.
Right. Because they have a different attitude. They're not expecting, you know, at 16 years old, they're not expecting their boyfriend to show up.
And genders don't have borders or boundaries with these kids. It is anything goes and everyone is recognized and everyone is, it's so inclusive, especially for our kiddos here on Vashon. And so on a day particularly like this with my kids, both of them are not so-called coupled with someone, but have, you know, very strong friend groups. That's their people and that's their love language.
I think that's so healthy.
I love that.
I like it. Yeah. The fact that kids are not pressured to couple up so much as they used to be. Yeah. And that they have their friend groups or their tribe.
I was just going to say they're a tribe.
Yeah.
And they have men or boys and girls
and others.
And others.
Yeah, others.
Others. Yeah. It's
non-binary people.
Non-binary. Yeah. I don't know. Like, how does that register if you're non-binary? Is there anything about Valentine's in particular?
If it's about love,
I guess
love
it's just love.
Yep. You know? Love is universal.
Yeah.
Everyone feels it.
Uh-huh.
Everyone wants
That was a stupid question.
You got to ask the questions. Yeah. Start the conversation.
No stupid question, only the ones you don't ask.
That's right. Yeah. That's
There's
right.
a song that keeps coming to mind. It's a song title from Barbara Streisand years ago. Love comes from the most unexpected places.
Oh.
And it's a great song.
Soft as an easy chair. No, that's Evergreen.
Well, it's a lovely song.
Fresh as the morning air.
Thank you.
Love.
I was going to ask you to sing a Valentine's song for us.
Well, there you go. I just did it.
No,
I think
you didn't.
I sang that at a few weddings.
Did
in
you?
My day.
It's a beautiful song. I love that song. Like the movie, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's go back to girlfriends, to Galentine's. I know you're doing your girlfriend thing tonight that includes family as well. And what if we're just girls, you know, we're just women like me who are single or who have, you know, maybe a husband doesn't want to do anything. So the girls decide they're going, which happens sometimes, you know.
Are you cruising with your girlfriends or you're just with your girlfriends for your girlfriends?
For your girlfriends. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a plan. I'm probably going to make some phone calls, you know, and say I love you to a few people, but I don't need the chocolate in the... Oh, gosh, we forgot to talk about the chocolates.
What, tell me about the chocolates.
Well, you know, the chocolates, I didn't do enough research on the chocolates, but there's a warning now about heavy metals in chocolate.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
I heard this from a younger person who's on the Dove Board of Directors told me not to eat some...
Theo.
Yes, and some very fancy organic chocolate that we were munching on at 1448. She said, you know, those have been recalled.
Yeah.
And we said, what the
what? The chocolate? Yeah. And, you know, I have to confess, I don't really know what that means. And I don't know
what the repercussions
are. But I was kind of alarmed when I read that Theo is the one with the highest part per million or whatever it is they
What I heard on NPR about all that today is that the content is not sufficient to cause any real harm.
Oh, thank God there's NPR.
They always say that.
chill
save
out,
the
guys.
Day.
It's not,
yeah.
you know, your chocolate
oh, so I can
is
have
not
going to
kill
chocolate
you. Have
now,
some
right?
of that dark chocolate.
Yeah.
I did find Barbra Streisand's song, if you guys are interested, because we've only got 5 minutes left.
Well, you mean you want to play it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
If, you know, we could.
And then say goodbye? Do we have time to do that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go. Here's the song.
Well, the song is 6 minutes long.
Well, then we don't have time.
We would be going out with it.
Oh, I get it. So you're done talking?
Who wouldn't want to go out with Barbra Streisand? So you're done.
Yeah.
There's a Valentine's Day party gift.
That
so
is.
You're done talking.
That really is.
Are you done?
So you're done
are you
yet?
Through?
Are you finished yet? Wait a minute. I want to read that poem now.
Okay. Yeah,
the $6.99.
You could play that as a backing track for the Barbra Streisand backing track to Chaucer.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone. It's been wonderful. I've had a really great time with you two as well. We're just kind of sailing today, I think. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll come back in 2 weeks, right? Yeah, in 2 weeks.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Whoever you love, wherever you are, I hope you have a beautiful, full heart today.
Perfectly put. Hallmark is, you just give a run for your money.
Yeah, we have to do that too. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Okay, so bye, everybody. We're very professional here.
Ciao.